Welcome to the Feel Good Wedding Podcast, a podcast by Polka Dot Wedding. My name is Dorothy and I'm the founder and editor of Polka Dot Wedding. In fact, my alter ego is called Miss Polka Dot. I have written about weddings for over 15 years, but I have loved them since I was tiny. And I love the stories behind them because it's not just about the details for me. I love the details. I love a bouquet. I love a cake as much as the next person. But what really drives me and what I'm most excited about is the stories behind it all. The tips and tricks, the vendors who make it happen, and the couples who their stories are told. And so that's what we're talking about with the Feel Good Wedding Podcast. We're diving a little bit deeper beyond the pretty. We're finding out the stories behind those decisions. We're talking to vendors about their information and tips and tricks, and we're diving into it all with you every 2 weeks. We're really looking forward to what we have in store, and we hope that you join us. The Polka Dot Wedding team is honoured to conduct our work on the land of the Boonwurrung, Woi Wurrung, Eora, and Kurungi people. We honour the traditional Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander custodians of the land, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. Welcome back to another episode of the Feel Good Wedding Podcast. Now, at Polka Dot Wedding, we don't just share weddings written by us, but we also share weddings written by you. And today's guest is one very special wedding story who has written a number of wonderful posts about her wedding day for us. And it is hosted by, of course, Mary, our lovely Miss Rose. Mary, can you tell us a bit about today's guest?
Thanks, Miss Polka. I am just really digging our podcast guests, and today's is one I've been really excited to speak with. Raquella is a Polka Dot U featured bride, not once, but twice. And she's done some amazing writing for us on Polka Dot Wisdom and Polka Dot Honeymoon, so she's a PDW pro at this stage, and I was so keen to chat with her about her weddings. Raquella and her lovely husband Michael had two weddings. One was a small, intimate affair to include a dear family member, and the other was the originally planned day, pushed 4 times, thanks to COVID, mind you, but that didn't mean it was all smooth sailing. Raquella was so generous in sharing her wedding story and her tips and thoughts on how to just roll with what happens during the wedding process or on the day. She also adored her wedding vendors. They were such a source of inspiration and support for her and Michael. And we talk about how important it is to pick the ones for your day who are going to really gel with you, who are on the same page as you, and will make the whole process, even in the bumps, just so fun. So sit back and relax for this beautiful chat I had with Raquella.
I am so looking forward to hearing about these double-digit weddings, and I can't wait to dive in.
Hi, Raquella. Thank you so much for chatting with us. We've absolutely loved featuring your writing on Polka Dot Wedding, and we're just so excited to actually get to speak to you today. So, look, could you start with telling me about how you and Michael met?
Thanks, Mary, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast today. I'm so excited to talk all things wedding. You know, being a post-bride, it's definitely a way to keep me connected in the wedding world, you know, with new trends and what's happening in the world of weddings. So, thank you so much. It's a really great community to be part of. But Michael and I, we met at work technically, which is apparently, according to Google, roughly 20% of couples do meet on there. So it'd be interesting to see a bit of a poll we can get going to see how do you meet your partner?
Absolutely.
We met at work. We didn't actually talk at work, though. It was kind of one of those jobs where he was a security guy and I was a bar wench, and we just never really crossed paths, I don't think. And then I moved away to study in Sydney, and we sort of rekindled a little bit on Instagram, which is very 21st century, and you'll be quite embarrassed. But it was like an old like picture here. And then I was like, oh, who's this guy? So I liked an old photo of his back. And then, yeah, we just reconnected through messages. And then we went for brekkie before work one day. And I was texting him, you know, date went great. And then I was texting him while I was at work saying, you know, I'm really tired. I can't be bothered to make dinner, blah, blah, blah. And he said, no worries. Let's have dinner tonight. So our first date actually ended in 2 dates. And then 7 years or 7.5 years later,
here we are. Perfect.
Still love Thai, and we still love Thai food.
See? So, isn't it wonderful? That's really sweet. What a sweetheart. I love it. And look, you had the delight. Sure, there were struggles, but you had the delight of being able to have 2 weddings. So, look, let's kick it off with wedding number one. Can you set the scene of the day for us, and how did it unfold?
Wedding one is really bittersweet. So basically, in short, when we got engaged, what felt like a lifetime ago in 2019, we didn't foresee COVID. And to be fair, I don't think anyone really seen this gigantic global pandemic that, you know, essentially shut down the world as we knew it. But we, you know, had our plans, like every normal newly engaged couple, to just have a seamless wedding where nothing would go wrong. But of course, that didn't happen. So in 2019, you know, Michael, my now husband, he definitely knew that the most important person in my life was my beautiful grandmother. So he asked her for permission to marry me. And in response, you know, the deal was that my nan walked me down the aisle. So she gave me away to Michael. And then with wedding number one, you know, the world happened, the world stopped. And unfortunately, in that period of time, my nan, who was 96 then, you know, she fell quite ill, and we got the call that we had just been dreading, you know, basically my whole adult life, that she was, you know, that was the end of, you know, her health journey, and things were sort of bubbling up to do with the health problems that she had. So came home really upset with Michael, you know, to Michael, was talking to him about it. And he just said, look, let's get married. And here I am thinking, I'm like, mate, we've already got a wedding plan. Of course we're going to get married. Today's Tuesday, let's get married on Friday. So we just made it happen. And I'm quite lucky that, you know, Michael's a builder. So I drew him a picture of an arbor, and he just made it the next day. And good guy, chucked in some chairs too. And then my now mother-in-law is a florist. So we just went down to the Sydney florist markets. I picked some colors. I wanted really bright, you know, super bright, totally polar opposite to what we originally had planned. And we got married with my nan at her home in Berkeley Vale, which is in the Central Coast. And we're really lucky that where she was in her, you know, her care facility was one street from the water. So we basically just made a wedding out of, you know, not a lot. And it turned out beautiful. I just got a dress online from Elliot the Label, which is a beautiful brand. And then...
Oh, and you looked fantastic. Oh, my goodness. The whole thing was so beautiful. Oh.
Well, we were really lucky that we're supported, obviously, by family. But I think what's so important, I'm sure we'll get into a bit later, is picking your wedding vendors. So I cannot say how important having people to really celebrate for you and also with you. We were really lucky to have Alicia from, which is now, she's rebranded as Folk Lane Photo. She was like a bridesmaid, unofficial bridesmaid. She was a wedding coordinator, like everything in one. And she, you know, amped us up, and she's like, yep, let's do it. Let's get married in 3 days. You know, who needs 12 months of planning?
Exactly.
Yeah, so we just made it happen. And we had Sarah from Marry Me, Sarah B. She was, of course, wonderful. She's like, I don't know, she's the sunshine in any room. So she's so bright and happy and lovely. She just made it seem so normal, like, yes, everyone does get married in 3 days. And, of course, we had Bonnie from Bonnie Lass Films, who is incredible. And she, you know, she also related with us. She had her own grandmother that she was really close with. So she kind of knew, you know, in that cinematography way, to have that day captured in a special way. So, yeah, it was just... You know, but even still, like, no day goes to plan. So it rained, which of course it did. And then we were really lucky that people who lived, you know, a property near the waterfront, seeing that we're getting married, that never happens there. And they're like, hey, it's about to rain. Come on our porch and sign your ceremony documents.
Oh, my goodness.
So we just ended up on some random's front porch. So and signed our marriage certificate. But yeah, look, it was very unplanned, very bittersweet, but sometimes I think we're thrown situations that don't necessarily align to what we originally thought. So, yeah, it was a beautiful, bittersweet day. I'm glad I had those memories with my nan. Mm.
And one of the things I was going to ask you was, you know, what was something that made that day so special? But you've absolutely covered that, because the whole point was that your grandmother was there, which I think everybody can sort of understand that for some people it's just about going away and the two of you getting married, and for other people it's about who you surround yourself with on the day as well. And I think a really special and important part of your story is that your partner totally got you, you know, totally understood you, totally know what you needed, and totally knows what you need, and totally knew what you needed on the that week when that all happened. And he was so happy to step in and say, let's do this. You need this. I want to do what you need, and I need this too. And I think being on the same page when you're planning or you're going through these bumps is so, so important. And that's so beautiful. Like you said, you have these bittersweet memories, but you have them, and that's, and the photos are just beautiful. So, you know, that's something that you'll have forever. I absolutely adore that. Was there anything extra that jumps out at you about that particular day, or, you know, was there anything else that was important or meaningful you to include on that day?
Yeah, I think like I said, nothing goes to plan. And the original plan was, at that point with my nan's health condition, she couldn't walk no more. So I was going to wheel her down the makeshift aisle.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the weather and COVID still lingering, it probably wasn't too safe to kind of have her out when it's quite windy. So we made a pit stop into her room, and, you know, she knew that I was getting married. She knew that it was my wedding day, which was really, that's one thing I was worried about, is her not knowing, you know, kind of why I'm there. But she totally understood. And then Nan said to me before I left, "Don't worry, I'm with you." So.
Oh my goodness. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So she definitely, and I believe it, you know, she knew it was there. That was one thing that we both really wanted equally between Nan and I, is that she does see me my wedding day. And you know what? She did. It may not have been, you know, where we originally planned or when we originally planned, but I think if you strip away, you know, certain elements of the day and really work out what's important for you, obviously it's your partner, but also the other elements, like, you know, is it worth sacrificing certain locations so you can have family members come? Is it worth sacrificing certain dates so you know that someone's definitely going to be there? And I answered it, yes. So what's important is that she was there. We got married and we had some great people to celebrate. And I think that, yeah, that's pretty special to me.
And that's, you know, that's what I think weddings are about. They're not about the big show a lot of the time, which is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. We love that. But this is like when you're saying, when you strip everything away, this is what it's about. And you absolutely stayed true to that. And I just think that's so special. And a lot of the time unique. I think that's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And look, then you did get to have wedding number two, which is amazing. How did this day unfold? Like, what did you, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot that you did differently to the first one. You know, talk to me about how this sort of came about, like, you know, and how much, you know, the gap between then and because I knew COVID was still happening at the same time.
Yep. So we definitely rode that COVID wave four times with four different dates. You know what, like on reflection, at the time I definitely wasn't too happy about it, but on reflection, COVID, although it is something that is, you know, quite negative, it's also brought some new trends to the wedding scene. So can you get married on a Monday without being judged? Absolutely. Can you have a wedding on a Tuesday? Yes. So I think COVID has definitely brought a new light to weddings, totally unintentionally. So it was our fourth postponement date, and it was actually on a Thursday, because if we wanted to retain all the same vendors, you know, their backlog of 18 months worth of weddings. So yeah. I went, look, Thursday it is. And to my guests, you are also welcome for having an extended long weekend.
So, thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah, so we got married at the beautiful Kantara House. And Karina was our wedding coordinator. It's a family ran business, and you can tell because they are so invested. I mean, I could tell you a million facts about Karina, considering how many times we spoke over the four different dates. But like I said, every, you know, wedding comes with their unexpected twists and turns aside from COVID. So we got married in a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, but also a once-in-200-year flood. So we had some guests.
Oh, just throw it in there.
So I'm talking text from SES saying, hey, you're in a flood zone, that kind of flood.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, okay. Mm. Okay,
so
yeah.
That was,
it's epic.
So we'll sprinkle La Nina in that one too.
That's it.
But look, it was very stressful in the morning, but sometimes things turn out better than planned. So we, like I said, got married at the beautiful Kantara House, and that was always picked because of the Charlotte Chapel that was flooded. So we got married under the sail canopy, and I was feeling in the morning so sad about it. I'm thinking, how can, you know, why do you need to think of a wet weather option for a chapel? That doesn't work. Like, that doesn't even come to mind.
That sort of is the wet weather option. You would
yes.
think.
Yes. But the, you know, the free throwing, flowing creek in between Kantara, separating the venue from the chapel, was not very tranquil. So we ended up having to have a different plan for that one. So we got married under the sail, which is usually the canopy area because, you know, there's like fairy lights and things like that. And I remember feeling quite deflated in the morning going, how can this happen? Why is this happening? But our photos turned out better and more beautiful.
Stunning. They're so beautiful.
No one had been married under that.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm thinking, trailblazer.
Starting a new trend at Kantara. No, it was beautiful. And in the morning, we ended up doing a first look, which was definitely not something that we discussed because we're always going to do things very traditional. But we were kind of worried that because the venue was quite flooded, and it never ever floods either. So it was definitely a once in 200 year flood. It's not a flood zone at all. But we thought, let's use this beautiful Airbnb in Booker Bay and we'll take some photos, do a first look. And they are my favorite photos where it's just unplanned. And then when it came to walking down the aisle, Michael and I walked together. First of all, always already married, so we started our own tradition where we walked together down the aisle with my sister. So we still got that moment together. But, yeah, I guess it turned out like 110% not what I thought. And I remember on the morning being so deflated and feeling so sad that you've waited all this extra time and COVID and you've got a flood and everything else that kind of happens. But on reflection, it was a beautiful day in a rainy flood, but we're lucky that we had, you know, if I could say anything to any brides or grooms or anyone planning their own wedding is to make sure that you pick vendors because they complement your personality. It's really cool to find them on Instagram with, you know, 200,000 followers and et cetera and all these kind of things, but you need to find someone that you authentically feel comfortable with and connect with. So we're so lucky that we had a bunch of vendors that just got us for us. You know, we're not the stagey, posy kind of couple and I definitely don't feel comfortable in front of a camera, but somehow Alicia made me feel like a celebrity.
You absolutely so can't just tell that you look uncomfortable in front of the camera. No. You look phenomenal. Oh, Michael doesn't look too bad himself, we'll give him that.
he scrubs up all right.
He does. But you're so right, the vendors.
It just made us feel comfortable, you know, like you kind of forget and then you almost feel like your mates are there. Yeah. So, of course, you're happy to smile and it's not this – random person behind a camera going smile. It just sort of happens. And I definitely didn't want to have those super posy, almost school photo like photos. We wanted those kind of authentic moments with friends, family, and of course with Michael. And apart from the pandemic and La Nina and 100 times different planning and everything else, we're just really lucky that I think what pulled it together, of course, is Michael and I, but also, support from friends, family, but also our vendors. Like, they put in so much work for us and just made it the best day that they could with what they had. I remember feeling a little bit panicked before walking down the aisle because I hadn't seen it and I am a little bit of a perfectionist. So I was worried that I didn't know what the ceremony looked like. And I remember sitting down before going down the aisle and going, oh my God, like, what does it look like? What do the flowers look like? What is happening? Where are we even getting married? And Sarah just sat me down and was like, hey, you're actually getting married. Let's go. You're okay. Everything's fine. You're perfect. You look good. Michael looks good. Your friends are here. Let's go. You're okay. And then I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Let's go. Like, she just, she just knew what to say. And I think because I'm not normally if I'm a stressed person, it's kind of one of those things where you hide.
Yeah.
Whereas Sarah, I just didn't know what to do. And she was like, let's go. Yep. You're totally fine.
I'll tell you what to do. I'll give you a hand and we'll talk it through and then we'll go along. But that's, I think the fact that all of these things, happened on the day and you sort of rejigged them, like you're doing the first look, which you hadn't planned, walking down the aisle together, like all these sort of things that you did not foresee for this day. And then they happened and it sort of gives a nod back to just rolling with it a bit, doesn't it? Just going, you can't plan for absolutely everything. So instead of sort of pushing back, just go, yep, okay, we're taking a step forward and we're just going with it. We're going with what the day is going to be. And, you can get these incredibly special moments, I think because they are unplanned and you remember them because they haven't been in this, lineup. Yeah, authentic. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Did it feel, I know it was quite different to your first wedding, but did it feel any different to the first wedding day? Like in what sort of way?
Totally. I think because it was more that, with the first wedding was during the really harsh period of COVID where it was, maximum of so many people at your house and, all the radiuses and things like that where you couldn't really celebrate, I guess. And all it was a very legals only ceremony because, you know, we just wanted it to be short and sharp given Nan couldn't stay out for too long. So it was very almost scheduled where you go in, get married, sign the paperwork, tell your family you love them and kind of go home. Whereas this one was, you know, I got to wear my beautiful Evan Wu gown and, you know, Michael had his suit on and it's everyone at a wedding is always happy. How can you be sad at a wedding?
How could you possibly? Other than having fun.
Yep, everyone's dancing. We had red soda with Kartik singing. You know, we had Brew Bike there who makes the most best cocktails in a bike.
Who would think?
And Jesse is so cool. Like, he's just stumbling around on his bike, giving out people espresso martinis.
Thank you so much. No, that's – yeah. We're here for a good time.
You can't be mad at a wedding. It was just more of a celebration feel, I think. Like I said, the other one was quite bittersweet, you know, bitter of why it's happening, but sweet because it is. Whereas this one was that true wedding feel. And every bridal groom who's been married previously, you do feel extra special in your day because everyone's like, how's your day? You know, everyone's coming up to you or, you know, you're literally like, I can't explain it. Yeah. I feel like your wedding day, people always say it goes really fast. I remember listening to people tell me before you get married, you know, enjoy every moment. I remember thinking in my head, oh, my God, leave me alone. I think I know. But it's true, right? Like, you should enjoy every moment because it does go really fast. And it just, you know, rain, hail, flood or shine, it just goes by so fast.
It zooms by. I think you're so right. And it's sort of trying to think of these moments of how can I capture this in a way. And I think one thing that my husband and I said to each other before, or that we'd sort of discussed before our wedding years ago now, was, you know, if we hear, you know, we sort of put our playlist together and sort of said, you know, if you hear this song, make sure we look at each other. That's one of our songs. Even if we're apart, like, it, you know, it was sort of one of these things that we knew we wanted to do throughout the day. And I think it's saying, yeah, it goes so fast, but maybe sneaking away or together or at least, you know, or having, you know, appointing someone in your, you know, in your family or one of your friends to sort of put a timer on even and say, hey, it's been 20 minutes, find each other again if you're not together. Yeah. Like, just making sure that you get to stop together, I think, is so important. And that's, you know, I can tell that, you know, even from the pictures in the features, your first wedding was so sweet and so intimate. Yeah. And you can tell from your second wedding, it was so fun. You can see the fun. You can see that everyone was just joyful.
I think because it was a long time coming too. Like, we had an army of people who were, you know, waiting for this day other than us, that it was so long in the planning and almost, I think everyone felt a heartbreak with each, you know, additional postponement, where when the day came, everyone was like, oh my God, finally, like, it's happening. So it was more of an amped up. I mean, we had like a extra long runway to get there, I guess, but everyone was so amped up for us. And I think that's also what's important, is like, big events definitely bring out or show you who is really there supporting you in your corner. And I think that was one pro, I guess, that came out of postponing a million times, is that you definitely do find out, you know, different ways that people who are super supportive of you and people who are super happy and ones that really care too. So I think the people that we had there were so happy that we got to celebrate with, because they were, you know, they bring joy and it is a party. Like, of course, it's a beautiful ceremony between you and your significant other and you legalize your marriage, but then what's the reception for? You're still bonding. Everyone's celebrating your love. Exactly. So it's not just like a party, like a birthday party. They're celebrating two people and what they've curated together and in their lives together. So I think, yeah, it was a really fun day, minus all of the floods and the SES text messages and the, you know, free flowing creek unintentionally being the Amazon and rapids. But it was just fun and
That's
special.
Amazing. That's amazing. Look, you mentioned your gown before. So your gowns for each of your wedding days, they were different. And as was the colour scheme for each of your day, like you mentioned, each of your days, as you mentioned before, like, can you tell us how you chose each gown and your thoughts behind each of them and how you chose them?
I definitely wanted something a little more conservative for Nan, but also had like 72 hours. So whatever online shop did express posting, that was the match.
Yeah.
So Iconic is always reliable. Oh. So I just popped on there and found this dress from Elliot. I love Elliot. It's a brand that they make really eccentric, different dresses and stuff like that. So I just happened to see that one. I was like, yep, add to cart. Should be right. Done. Add to cart.
Yep.
Next day delivery, done. So there wasn't really a lot of thought. I guess it was just kind of what was there and what I could get. But my other dress, so that one was like a high neck number, long sleeve with kind of like tassels around it a bit. And I was really lucky that it just fit like a glove. So meant to be.
Looked fantastic. It was just beautiful. Well done. for such a quick shop, I love it. It's meant to be. That's beautiful.
Definitely. Well, if it didn't fit, I would have had to make it fit because we didn't have time. So that's that one. And then I got the boys' studio again to do my makeup for both because I cannot fault Dean. I don't know. He's just the best in the business in whole of Newcastle with his makeup. But my other dress, I definitely knew what I wanted, I think. Tried on a bunch of different dresses, some that I thought I would really like. Like I thought I would want a long sleeve dress as well. But I think because I am so short, it kind of just made me feel even shorter. Like I'm only a little fabric. Person. Yeah, a lot of fabric on a small person. But no, I just didn't really know what I wanted. And then I tried on a couple and I just couldn't find something that I think I do like the eccentric and, you know, different sort of dresses. But I found this fabric that I loved and got it altered and completely altered and literally drew a picture. And Irvin Wu, who is in Sydney, he's a masterman at, you know, all things creative. And I literally drew him a picture and was like, can you please make this into this? And then he just did.
Voila.
So there it was. But it was a little bit anxiety producing, I guess, because you don't know what the finished product is until closer to the day. And I think, yeah, but I just had full faith in that's what I liked and that's the fabric I liked. And Irvin was just really comforting, I guess, and like his portfolio was amazing. So I had no faults there. And it was just, sweetheart neckline with a wide bodice and a droopy off the sleeves neckline and then quite tight, like a mermaid fit, but not quite. And then had an overskirt. So it was quite formal at the start.
That was absolutely stunning.
And then you could take the party time. And then last minute I got a Rebecca Valance dress with a bow at the back for the reception, which thank goodness I did because it was so wet on our wedding day that my train of my dress kind of was like a sponge. So it was just absorbing so much water. When I entered the reception room, it was beautiful floorboards with, you know, white crisp walls and everything that Kantar is in all its glory. But it looked like I felt like you could see a trail of where I've walked because the sponge that is my dress was just leaving almost like a snail trail kind of all through reception. So I was very glad that I had a second dress. So if anyone is considering a second dress, get that second dress.
Yeah, do it. It's worth it.
You need it.
And it looked so fun. It looked like you had a ball in it. And your color schemes, you were saying that for your first wedding, you chose quite bright colors. And then for your second wedding, there were a lot more sort of neutrals and that sort of bohemian sort of look to it. Like how did you decide on the bohemian sort of neutral sort of look for your second wedding, and what made you choose the bright ones for your quicker?
I think I loved bright always, but I was always a bit worried to be a bit bald, I guess. Like I don't know if it's gonna be too much. And then this one, when it popped up, I was like, I want nothing similar. I want to have really bright colors. And yeah, that was kind of it. And I actually didn't really know. I don't think I'm creative naturally, but when we went down to Sydney flower markets, I literally just picked a bunch of things that I thought, she might go together all right. And turns out it did. So I was kind of happy with that one. But I just thought purples and reds, okay, that'll do. We'll add in a couple of whites and whatever else I can find. And we just kind of had a play. Like it was actually quite fun because it wasn't like a pressured environment, I guess. It was kind of, we'll put it together and blah, blah, blah. And it just didn't feel, you know, a lot of pressure. Whereas the second wedding, I think there was extra pressure from COVID and everything. So I was a little bit stressed. But a lot of our flowers, we had to change last minute because of the flood. And a lot of the flowers were stuck in Brisbane, of course.
Of course. Perfect.
Of course. And so I think the Kantara is very green. It's kind of like a Whitsunday tropical vibe meets tradition with chapel. So everything is green and white. So I think if we had those really, really bright colours, I'm not sure if it would reflect the, I guess, the traditional style of Kantara feel. Like, I think it is one of those venues where, yeah, I think having like those more neutral colours makes the white of the chapel pop a bit more, and, you know, it kind of lends itself to, I guess, the feel of the venue. But I definitely loved, we put a lot of gold flecks. So that was our modern twist on a traditional venue, is having, you know, the ginkgo leaves and things like that. So in my bouquet, there was a lot of gold. They're actually false flowers where they're kind of like plastic almost, where they're like really golden. So that was kind of my eccentric flair in there a little bit. But I think, yeah, we wanted to keep it a little bit more neutral with, you know, the girls' bridesmaid dresses. I think if we had those really bright colours, it might be a little bit much. But, yeah, no, it was all like pinks and golds and whites and the sort of browns, you know, the toffee roses, things like that. But I definitely loved the orchids the most.
They looked beautiful. And I think that what you're saying in terms of working with the venue, as opposed to going, here's the venue, this is the venue I want, throw what I want in it, because, you know, anyone can do that. It's your wedding, you get to do and create whatever you want. But the fact that you looked at the venue and went, hang on a minute, what's actually going to suit the venue and how is this going to feel on the day? It's not just about the photos or the video or anything like that. It's how you feel when you actually are there and when your guests are there, and how that translates into the sort of the ambiance of the day. And you're saying, it probably would, having bolder colours probably would not have suited the venue. So I think that's really clever to actually have thought about that and incorporated the venue in that bit of planning as well. I think it probably also makes it a bit easier, because you're going, well, I've kind of got a guideline there, and I'm just going to roll with it. And it looks incredible. So, you know, you've done so well. And if, here you are saying you're not creative. Oh, my goodness, I beg to differ. Like,
I don't know. I think a wedding's something that you can just pick that's so personal. I mean, it's also like your flowers have to suit your dress. I think my dress, because the fabric was quite eccentric, like 3D, I don't know if I'd want to have a big pulled colours. You know, I think, I'm biased, but I think Kantara was beautiful.
Oh, it was stunning. You're definitely not biased. You're absolutely right. It's beautiful. I know that you've mentioned throughout our chat your vendors who you can tell that you just gelled with and absolutely love. Who were your standout vendors on the day?
All of them, full stop.
All of them. Oh,
no, you got we.
I know, it'd be just so good to say that, wouldn't it? Just all of them. They're all wonderful.
I definitely gelled with all of them, I think, because they're a part of our story. So, you know, planning the wedding 100 different times, you definitely get to know them a lot better. And also what's important that I had to remember is during COVID, it's not just, you know, wedding vendors aren't just doing it as a side gig or a hobby. It's generally their passions themselves. So people who are in photography or videography or even celebrants, they do it because they love the gig. So I think during COVID, their work also paused. So I don't know. I think that maybe we gelled with them because there was a common ground there where, you know, there was empathy on both sides. One is people in this industry are really suffering, you know, they're not being able to do their jobs. And then on the other side, brides and grooms, you know, they can't get married and family members fall ill or, you know, venues shut down or, you know, whatever it is, that there was a common ground. So we gelled over that kind of stuff, I guess, at the start. But Alicia from, who is now branded as Folk Lane Photo, she was amazing. Like I said, she was basically recruited as an unofficial bridesmaid. You know, she helped me pick the bridesmaid dresses even before I showed the girls, and she seen my dress before, you know, my own friends did. And she just really helped kind of navigate that wedding process. And I feel like, you know, she's been a part of so many different weddings herself that she's almost, you know, knows the schedules of things and how things should run. So she was a really good person to triple check with ideas with, and, you know, color schemes and things like that, because she had been to Kantara a couple of times before. She was just like a wonderful person to talk to. And, you know, we still chat here and there now, which is really nice that I can still, you know, keep in touch and stuff like that. So, yeah, she was just, I don't know, I think you can tell she's not a photographer just because she has to do it. She chose to be a photographer because she loves it and she's passionate about the weddings that, you know, she crafts, and she uses her pictures to tell a story of the day. So, yeah, she was definitely a standout. There's like also Bonnie from Bonnie Last Films, like I said. She what I love about her work is that she gets to know the couple to be able to tell their story in video. I mean, if we think logically, they're filming for 8 to 10 hours a day and you wrap it up to a 30-minute video. How do you do that?
Amazing. The talent. How do you do that? I'm like, I know, I can't. It blows my mind how they can take that and go, all right, we need to pick all these incredible special moments, and there would be so many moments.
So many. But what are the ones that are perfect for the people that I'm representing?
Oh, my goodness.
So I think Bonnie was just, I don't know how to describe Bonnie. She's so cool and calm, but she's also so cheeky and funny. So I feel like she's just this equal balance of fun meets professional, but also she just has this way of, like I said, wrapping up 8 to 10 hours. I don't know how, but then crafting it in a way that when I watched my video, I felt like Michael and I had, you know, picked these videos and mashed them together because it was an authentic representation of us. So, and Bonnie was just great to liaise with, and also marry me, Sarah B. So Sarah Brown, when we started talking with her, she was relatively new to the celebrants scene, and I just seen her on Instagram and a website, and I love that she was all about fun. You know, I think there's nothing worse than going to a wedding ceremony and it's very, you know, autopilot and things like that. Sarah just brings this big sun energy, I guess, which you definitely need during La Nina, but she just brings this really fun, like charismatic, you know, she gets the audience involved, and not one ceremony is a copy and paste of the other. So the way that she told our story and things like that, you could tell that she had spent some time drafting a script for it and things like that. So Sarah, but she was also great just to have a check-in and, you know, how are you feeling, et cetera. And like I said, before the ceremony, she was amazing. And of course, Karina from Kantar House. So like I said, it's a family-run business, but Karina, for someone who, you know, her only job is running that business during COVID, and she'd be dealing with not just me as a bride, but, you know, probably 50 others at a time, but she never made you feel like that. Mm. So, and on the day, Karina just wanted the best of what everything. And I remember the night before the wedding, she rang me and she was actually flooded out of her own home. Like, this is how bad it is. She was flooded out of her own home.
So
she was
stuck in
her relative's house, FaceTiming me going, oh, potentially my house is flooded, but don't worry about that. How are you feeling about your marriage work? So she just, you can just tell that she lives and breathes that wedding, and she puts her heart and soul into creating and crafting weddings there. I could go on a million miles about our things. Mitch and Dean from Boy Studio are fabulous at hair and makeup. So if anyone in the Newcastle region has an event or a wedding or just want to go and get glammed, because go to them. They're just, I literally said the morning of to Dean and Mitch, can you please make me look better? And I didn't even give any requests. I just thought, no, they know better than I do. I'm a BB cream girl, so I don't really know all of the stuff. So I just said, can you just do your thing?
Work your magic. Just
work your magic. Yeah. Please make me look like a bride, and please make me look like a bride who's not stressed and little.
Who hasn't been stressing out all morning. The brief. Like
that is the brief. But no, they were great. And obviously Jesse from Brew Bike, he's just so cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, cocktails in a bike. I don't know. I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, that's it. That's the pitch. Like that's the sell. Like
He just, I don't know, he's just a really cool guy. I'm hoping I haven't forgot anyone, but he's just a really fun guy. There's SK Menswear is where Michael got his suits from. They were great. And also MB Tailoring in Newcastle. They were wonderful to liaise with to get Michael's suit tailored. And fun fact is he had to get a new suit like 4 days before the wedding. So thank you, SK Menswear, for ordering that one nice and quick.
Shout out, guys. Thank you.
Yes, so we had to get that sorted. So that was really good. I don't know. Honey Bell Cakery made our cake, and she's great. She's a friend of a friend, so she was really fun to be creative with. And her brief, I love that she loves to do eccentric stuff. So she was really good at making sure that the cake is something that hadn't been seen before, I guess.
Yeah.
Or something that was a little bit different. We kind of had swirls and patterns rather than the florals and stuff like that. So we wanted something just a little bit different. So that was really good. We also had the Events to Adore. So she is wonderful. And fun fact, we met because the arbor that we made for our first wedding, we actually gave to her for her business. And I didn't really know her business that well. And then I was looking, chasing these particular gold candles, and I happened to stumble across her. And I was like, oh, there we go. And she just helped with heaps of stuff. She gave us candles. She does dry hire as well as styling. Her styling is beautiful. So she's, Events to Adore is amazing at what they do. You can definitely tell that she's a stylist and also a perfectionist, which is very important for someone who is doing all the decor. But yeah, no, we were so lucky that we had lots of different people. We also had Creative Booth, who is after photo booths, Red Soda Band, who is great. Kartik also was on Australian Idol not too long ago. So
nice, fun fact.
But now keep an eye out. And Hey Sweet Peach, I met her in 2019 in a Facebook wedding group chat, and she was just a mum, you know, from home doing a couple of table signs. Turns out now, post-COVID, she's a big booming business in Adelaide. So, Hey Sweet Peach, for all your stationery needs. But, yeah, no, we were very lucky to be surrounded with a lot of, you know, a lot of vendors. And what I loved is some of the vendors that we had weren't, you know, big booming in the wedding industry just yet. So it was really nice to be able to feel a little bit more connected, that you weren't just a number. And Kantara House hadn't been open that long before we booked it as well. So we're really lucky to get to know Karina, you know, and that's Kantara House was, they bought it as a family business and they renovated it into what it is today. So they definitely have put their heart and soul into that venue. So yeah, vendors are so important. I've just rattled on.
Oh, they are.
So important. Like, I can't stress how much better, given our situation is definitely minus 100 out of 10 for what it was, we are so lucky to have them, because it just made it better.
Well, they just let the day run with you, don't they? Like, you know, you just can send them your vision, and a lot of the time they can just run with it. The good thing is we do have all of Raquel's vendors all listed on the features that you will be able, the features that either Raquel has written for us or of her weddings that you can check out. We'll link to all of those. So they're all going to be there so that you can absolutely check them out. And don't worry if you feel like you've missed anyone, they're all going to be part of it.
I definitely am worried I have.
No, yeah, don't look, they're all on there.
Thank you. They do just make it better. I mean, they're celebrating for you. And I think anyone who's in the wedding industry is in there because they love it. And like I said, who can't be mad at a wedding?
I know. It's so beautiful. You can't.
Sometimes you even have martinis in a bike, so you can't be mad.
You can't. Martini in a bike. It's just the best thing. I think it should just be an event staple. So if couples are in a similar position in having to create two weddings, and especially one that's done at short notice, you know, what advice would you have for them that you would be able to give to them, you know, going through that similar situation?
I feel like I said before, where someone said to me, just go with it pre-bride, just go with it. I used to think in my head, be quiet, you don't know what it's like, blah, blah, blah. But I actually feel like I'm going to be a bit of a hypocrite here and go, I do need to go with it. And sometimes if you do, in similar situations where a family member, because you do plan a wedding, you know, usually 12 to 18 months in advance, is that if you are in a similar situation where a family member does fall ill, or maybe you need to speed up the wedding process for whatever reason that may be, is that sometimes things work out better than you had imagined. So even stuff to do with our wedding number two, with, you know, the chapel and the canopy switch around and all this stuff, is that I, in hindsight, on the day probably not, but in hindsight, I'm so glad that did, because, you know, our photos are so different to every other couple that's going to go to Kantara, and that's special for us, right? But if the wedding one, you know, family is important, obviously. So, you know, you can have something and it will turn out better than you imagined. I didn't picture or foresee our wedding day, you know, being what it was, but I'm so glad that it was at the same time. And we have two lots of beautiful wedding photos, and, you know, two weddings are better than one, provided it's the same bride. But I guess the only advice I have is, like, go with it, you know, like, it's going to turn out better than what you had imagined. And what would be worse is not doing it and living in regret.
Absolutely. Great advice. Ah, so good. Just go with it. Just go with it. Go with your gut and just roll with what works for you guys as a couple. Now, we have also been so lucky to feature your beautiful honeymoon on Polka Dot Honeymoons as well. Traveling in New South Wales to stay at luxury resorts. Does this show us yet again that we have some wonderful venues, resorts and countryside to explore right on our doorstep? Do you think this is something that needs to be more explored?
Yes, I think we get, in the wedding world, I feel like you get swept up in, you know, there's so many preludes to the event, right? So we've got our hands, barks, bridal showers, engagement parties, blah, blah, blahs, then the wedding, and then straight away for the honeymoon. And it always seems that the honeymoon has to be, you know, this big you know, 12-hour plane ride to somewhere and whatever. I mean, do that if you want to. I personally am a bad traveler, so I'm going to get that one out there. So if anyone else shares a similar fear of not particularly liking planes, I hear you and I feel you. But I think we had, again, like COVID, we had all of the border restrictions and it was kind of put in that too hard basket. But another positive thing that COVID has brought out, of course, is the not necessarily the luxury, but the free pass to kind of explore what's within a drivable or reachable distance. So I've always loved the Blue Mountains personally. We've gone there a couple of times, particularly in winter, because, you know, it's cozy. But I've never really looked outside Katoomba, I guess, because that's like the heart of where you go, where the cafes and things are. But I stumbled across this place called Guestlands in Sydney. It's in Arcadia. I think it's Arcadia Vale in Sydney. And I wouldn't think to honeymoon or begin a honeymoon potentially an hour and a half from a house. That doesn't feel very honeymoony. But when we got there, it was beautiful. And like now it's within reachable distance. Maybe one anniversary we'll go back there.
Oh, I love that. So that's such a beautiful part of it. You can relieve. You know, I mean, some they might go, we've gone overseas for our honeymoon. And yes, we're going to keep doing that for our anniversary. Yep. But if that's something that's not available to you, being able to, you know, relive those sort of memories sort of each year, if you've gone somewhere that's quite close, that's so special. It's so clever.
Explore places that aren't the big, you know, I'm definitely not dissing big change hotels.
No.
But maybe explore ways that or places that are a little outside that norm. So the place that we went, you know, were, if I was to go to Sydney, it wouldn't be the first place I would stop by. I think like what's important is if you are going to book a honeymoon or some sort of special getaway is kind of look for those more obscure places or those one-off kind of, you know, bed and breakfasts or boutique hotels because, for example, Guestlands, they were the couple that designed their beautiful boutique accommodation. They lived there, so it was their home and you could walk in, you could feel it was their home. It was like it was just a very, you know, they celebrated our wedding with us, right? And they made us pizza and it was really fun. And then the accommodation that we had in the Blue Mountains was also beautiful. You know, it was quite scenic. It was sort of country. It was kind of away from that area. And then, of course, we topped it off with Walgreen Valley, which was definitely like no words, amazing, 5 stars, 10 stars. So I think we sort of each place was different but same. So the first one was very homely and, you know, but we needed that after a wedding where you just kind of come down, chill out, have a reason to sit in, eat pizza, watch a movie. That's what we needed. Perfect. Then the next one was a little bit explore, adventure, you know, country-esque. And then the last one was total relaxation retreat. So I think all the places that we picked were complementary of what we needed at that period of time, I felt. But I think, yeah, explore what's around. I mean, why does a honeymoon have to be overseas? Or why does a honeymoon have to be a plane trip? Or why does a honeymoon have to be travel? I mean, I personally don't like travel, like I said. It's not to say you can't do it. But why has it got to be another thing to organise?
It's another tradition to sort of break a little bit if it's not you. You know, like it's something that you go, well, this is the honeymoon. It has to be a big event. You're like, you've just come off a big event. Do you need another big event? Can you?
Right. Do you need to organize another thing? Do you need to stress about a passport? Do you need to pack a suitcase? Do you need to remember this? Do you need to remember that? It's just another thing. And I think when you're planning a wedding, you are ticking so many boxes. It's just another box to tick, right?
Yep.
Where have I packed everything? Have I done this? Have I done that? Have, you know, got to the airport? Have I got everything? You're questioning yourself. But you kind of just need to lull.
Just relax.
And be in your own little love bubble with your significant other and enjoy your time, whether that's an hour from your house or 10 hours. The point of a honeymoon is to celebrate just you two of what's just happened. And, you know, it's exciting time because you get your preview sneak peek photos and all that you can look at together. And that's, I remember getting our photos on our honeymoon and we're just sitting there looking through the photos, having pizza. Perfect. That was great in my eyes.
Exactly. And we've sort of just said, you know, one of the advantages of not going too far for your honeymoon is, you know, not having to plan a huge big thing straight after having just planned a huge big thing, your wedding. Do you think there are other advantages for holidaying closer to home?
I guess it's, you know, up to individual circumstances. Like maybe work doesn't permit that, you know. True. Some professions like mine in particular isn't too conducive for taking time off. I'm a school teacher, so, you know, I don't really want to take time off during the term. Maybe it's things like that where it's up to individual circumstances mm-hmm. that, or maybe, you know, some couples have children and that's a big ask to leave them for such a long period of time. Yeah. And, or maybe, you know, I think maybe people just don't want to have to organize, or maybe yeah. there are things or places that you've always wanted to go. I personally have always wanted to go to Wagon Valley one day, and honeymoon was the excuse to do it. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it then. That's so it. Maybe there's places that are around you that you've always wanted to go to, and it's something that's special that you can return to. Or, yeah, I think, you know, do you really need to have that big trip if it's something else added? I mean, if you love traveling and it doesn't seem as a burden, or it's something that is relaxing for you, not stressful, then of course take the trip. Go to the Maldives. Go to Bora Bora. You know, go wherever yeah. you feel you would like to go. Go, you know, do it. Europe can take you if that's your flavor. But I think if COVID's brought another thing to us, it's that you can sort of explore what's in your own backyard and still have a similar experience, whether that's the beach or country or, you know, whatever it is. I'm sure somewhere in the state you can get a similar experience.
Well, that's the thing with Australia, isn't it? We're so lucky. We're a big country and we have so much to offer in terms of scenery and culture, and it's, you know, there's so much to see. And so I think it's, you know, especially in terms of budget as well, like for a lot of couples, yeah. you've spent a lot on a wedding.
Heaps.
And maybe you sort of go, well, do you know what? We're just going to tighten the purse strings a bit and just duck off somewhere that we're still going to have time together. We're still going to have this romantic, beautiful moment with just us after the wedding. But you can't always, you know, you can't always afford to zoom off and do it. So that's such, no, you know, it's such another plus.
Who made the rule that you have to honeymoon 2 days after the wedding?
I know that's huge.
Another
tradition. Who brought that in? Another tradition, another one. It's probably something quite archaic, actually.
When you really start to think about it.
I know. Maybe we shouldn't. Like,
maybe if you got married in January, who said you can't have a honeymoon until June?
Exactly.
Who decided that can be? Yeah, look, we need to talk to some people.
I know. Coming up, let's break some rules. Let's be rule breakers. Let's crash them. Let's get rid of them. And then you were so beautiful, and you wrote about the post-wedding blues for us. So apart from reading this timely post, how do you suggest couples deal with settling down into married life and dealing with all the questions, the regrets, the feeling flat, you know, all of that once the wedding day is over?
I think it's natural as, okay, planning a wedding and being a bride or a groom in a wedding is the only thing you need to do once, and then you are an absolute expert because you've done it. Mm-hmm. So I think naturally when you take a step back, you kind of go, but I should have added this and I should have added that and I should have done this differently. And it's natural to plan an event that's so significant and personal that you naturally take a step back and go, I wish I, you know, should have changed this, should have done that. Oh, I missed this opportunity, or I missed this moment, or I didn't get this photo. But I feel like at the heart of hearts, remember why you did it. And as much as Pinterest changes, you know, Pinterest probably changes, what, every 3 to 6 months,
yep.
is that, it, you know, weddings can be replicated, but your own can't. Or different flower arrangements can be replicated, but your own experiences can't. So I think what's important is to remember, you know, of course, the moments that you did enjoy. And, you know, someone else could be looking at your wedding going, oh, wow, I wish I did what they did. So maybe you are that person that people, those images that, you know, of your wedding that people wish that they did do. So I think it's natural. And social media is in our palm of our hands like 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So of course we're going to see all these posts, and of course you're going to question that you didn't do things. You know, I questioned for ages, why didn't I do a champagne tower? And really, does that matter?
At the end of the day, they're amazing. But there are other things that you had that were just as amazing. You know, it's...
Yeah. It's just, I think we just are naturally critical as people who have our own events, because I guarantee if I picked a different blend of linen for a napkin, are my guests going to go, why did she pick this blend? No.
They never do.
Does a guest really think about a thread count of a linen? No. Not at all. So I think those things that we naturally pick, probably your guests won't. So I think what I'm trying to get at is, you know, you picked your wedding, or you had your wedding and it was your day, no one else's, and no one's going to be able to relive your experiences. So take a step back and relish in the fact that you got to have those experiences, champagne towers or not, but relish in the experiences that you had, because no one else can have those. So, and trends are going to come and go. I'm sure my wedding, you know, will look, you know, almost prehistoric in the next 10 years, because there'll be some like a new wedding trend that I'll look back and go, oh, why didn't I do that? But that's a part of trends. And then often we see trends recycle. Like my mum's dress was this big, you know, poofy, elastic, big dress. And I'm sure in the next couple of decades that's going to be back in.
It'll be the whole big thing. But
yeah, it just trends, you know, cycle and repeat. And I think obviously if you're feeling down, talk to your friends and, you know, confide in those people who support you, but also be, you know, be happy that you got your day, or be happy that you got to celebrate in, you know, all the elements that you picked, like you picked your dress and you picked your veil and your hair and your makeup, etc. And maybe focus on how you felt on the day, not what you see in your pictures.
I love it. It's absolutely perfect. Plus, and also you've written a ton of other ideas for anyone who is feeling a little flat, a little sad that their day is over. You know, you had some terrific thoughts on ways to kind of battle that, and I absolutely loved it. Oh, Raquella, thank you so much. I've loved talking about your weddings. I got to read about them. I got to, you know, read about all your different planning with your COVID changes, your honeymoon, going through the, you know, the post-wedding blues. And it has been so lovely to actually get to speak with you about your wedding planning experience and all of your memories. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us. I've just loved chatting with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. I think we could talk weddings all day.
We could. We absolutely could. We need like a series two or like an episode one, episode two of us. Yay. We'll bring you back.
I'll be back. But thank you so much for having me. It is really cool to think that, you know, platforms like Prokadot really do bring together, you know, that those wedding vendors come together and brides and grooms can get inspiration. It's just a platform, you know, for like-minded people, everyone who loves weddings. Or yeah, so I think it's a really special platform that's been great to be a part of, and I feel extra special to even be a podcast. But I'm so thankful to be able to publish my words and thoughts, and it's almost therapeutic in a way to write about things. So I'm really thankful to be on the podcast, and hopefully I'll be chatting to you again soon about something else wedding related. But
we would love that. We would absolutely love that.
Thank you so much, Mary.
You're so welcome.
If you'd like to read more about either of Raquella's beautiful days or find out more about her honeymoon and her wedding day advice, head on over to weddingpodcast.com.au. Over there, we have all the photos, all the vendors, and of course, a written transcript for today's episode. We would love your feedback on the Feel Good Wedding Podcast. We love your reviews, your ideas, your thoughts, and your plans. So head on over to your favorite platform. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, and all the rest, because we would love to interact with you and find out who is listening. We will be back in another 2 weeks with another episode. See you then.